All right. Well, this morning we're gonna continue in the thought of 2 Corinthians. It's really hard for me to come in when Jeff has been teaching and just go a totally different route. So this morning we are gonna look at just some thoughts. It's been really hard for me over the past couple of weeks to get past, 2 Corinthians 7 through 10. And so I'm going to read that really quick. And I know that we went over this scripture last week, but I just really feel like the Lord has given me some things that really pertain to this section of scripture, and I just want to encourage you in them. I've been meditating on it, as I know you probably have been through the week too. Trials and tribulations, a thorn in the flesh, that's something that we all deal with. It's something that is common. I mean, Jesus said that in this life, you're going to have persecution. Or you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to go through things in your life that really press you. And we're going to look through some scriptures here that really bring that to light in our lives. And I hope that you'll find that this study will be fruitful to you, that there is a lot of scripture here that you can take and that you can just meditate on and see where the Lord leads you in it. But 2 Corinthians 7 says here, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I mean, this is just an amazing section of Scripture. It is, it's a challenging section of Scripture because we're going through difficulties, we're going through trials, we're going through tribulations. And you know, it occurred to me that the process that we go through in our trials or in a thorn in the flesh, something like that, that God brings into our life or allows in our life that we have no control over, many times we don't have control over that. God uses that in a way to really shape us and to mold us and to change us. And you know, what God desires in our lives is that we would have authentic fruit. I don't know if you notice these apples here, but one of these is fake. Can you tell from where you're sitting? Probably if you were right up close, you'd be able to tell it really quick. Can you tell which one's fake? Which one's real? Which one's fake? Green. Yeah, good. All right. Yeah. You know what? It's hard sometimes to tell that. And you know what? I feel like in our lives, there are times when I get pressed in a situation or a circumstance, or I have a situation that is, overwhelming to me. And I feel like I have no way out, that, I try really hard to make something happen out of it. I try really hard to, do the right thing. But really, in the midst of that, there's the process of the gospel that happens in our lives. There, the gospel isn't just it's not just an event in Jesus' life. I mean, simply in 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, it talks about the gospel. And let me read that real quick. But it gives us a picture and a simple picture of what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So, Paul gives us that, and we've heard that a lot of times. This is what the gospel is. It is that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. But as I was thinking through that, and I was thinking through the process of a trial in our lives, we go through the process of the gospel every trial we end up going through. And so this morning, I just want to share with you, that process and maybe bring it to a light, because the gospel isn't just something that's good news that we by faith believe in at one point in our life and then we walk on away from it. No, the gospel is a process that we apply to our lives every moment, every day. It's a process that God has for us to go through, and the ultimate goal is that we would be pleasing to Him, that we would please Him. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. I want to read that to you as well. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God." See, we don't necessarily talk about that a lot. I mean, we assume that in our teaching, in our time of fellowship, or in our lives. But you know what? God wants us to please Him. He desires for us to walk in a way that pleases Him. And you know what? What pleases the Lord is seeing that process of the gospel in our lives transforming us and producing fruit out of this life. Out of our mortal bodies, there would come fruit out of this that is spiritual, that is good, that is life-changing in the world around us and where we're at. You know, our sanctification isn't just for us to be holy or happy, but there is the process that we go through, the gospel process that brings us to a place of sanctification so that we can be a light to the world around us and that we can bear fruit. That's not just us working through life and getting through things, but actually producing fruit that will be living, that will be alive. You know, that's the amazing thing about fruit, isn't it? This apple, this is the real one, actually. This one's fake. And you know what? This fake one has a story in it. And this is not my apple. This is Greg and Diane's apple. And they're in my life group. And I asked Greg if I could borrow it, because in our life group, one of the things that I was really hoping for and I was praying about was that in our life group, we could be honest and real and that we could really share. And that we could really produce authentic fruit from it. Not just another Bible study, not just another time where we're looking at scripture, but that we're challenged to produce fruit in our lives. And you know what? The first time I walked in, and I think these were maybe new at the time, they were nice and shiny. And we didn't have, I don't know, maybe we had some snacks or something, I don't know, but I wanted to grab one of them and I wanted to take it. But then as I got closer, I realized, that's phony. It's fake. So every time I walk into your house, I think about that phony fake fruit, and I think about the authentic. I mean, really, I do, and I notice them there on the little table there, and that's why I wanted to bring it, because in our lives, we have the opportunity to produce that good fruit, and that's what pleases God. That's what we want to see in our lives, in our fellowship, in our times where we're spending together. You know, I'm really blessed by a lot of the things that have happened here in the fellowship over the years, even in the last year or in the last couple of months, as you guys have shared, the struggles. Because I think this section in 2 Corinthians is just so amazing, because we're able to really, put those trials, those thorns, those things that we struggle with into the light of the Word of God, and we're able to see how God wants to use it in our lives. You know, fruit is pleasing to the Lord. We were created for good works. Ephesians 2:10, what does that say? This is an awesome verse that we all know up above too, in 9:8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not of our own, trying to make our fake fruit that we think we can make, but it's through grace, and it's His righteousness that produces fruit in us. For we are His workmanship, we're His poem, we are His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know what? We please the Lord when we produce good fruit out of our lives. We are pleasing in His sight when we allow that process of the gospel to happen, and it produces good fruit in our lives. So let's look at this. There's a general process of the gospel, or an overarching Process, when you're saved, you put your faith in the fact that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he was raised again. But there's that specific, work and the process of the gospel that happens in our lives. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. We see that in each and every circumstance and situation of our life. Have you ever felt, have you ever been in a situation where you really feel the sense of loss? Have you been in a situation, and I think that's why, trials and tribulations are really so difficult for us at times, is because with a trial or a tribulation, with a thorn like this in Paul's life in chapter 12 there of 2 Corinthians, where he has this thorn in his flesh, you can just sense that there is some kind of loss, and he pleads with the Lord. He pleads with the Lord that the Lord would take that away from him. And I personally, I think Jeff kind of alluded to the fact that, he believes that it seems to be a physical thing that Paul was really struggling through. It was something that was limiting him in his life. And I think that that's true in our lives, that as we go through things like this, when we have a thorn or a trial or something that comes upon us, a situation or a circumstance that really challenges us and presses us, I can think back through the things that I've gone through, and it is the sense of loss that really I'm kind of floored by, or I'm taken aback by, or there's a sense of loss. Like in a health situation, maybe here for Paul, he was feeling like he wouldn't be as effective, in ministry because of the health issues. He wouldn't be able to travel. He wouldn't be able to do the things that he normally did, and so there was a sense of loss in that, but I can identify with that, as the Lord has brought me through things. You just come to a place where you feel like that situation is pressing to your point where it's not going to be effective. You are not going to be effective. And so we sense that, and it makes it very, very difficult in our life. And in a way, that first process, and this is the part of the process of the gospel where it really comes in. There's a death that happens. You think about death, you think about going to funerals, you think about that happening in that physical way, death. Death brings a loss of that person. And a lot of times we feel that grief because of the loss of somebody, something in our life. Those memories come up in our life. We sense that, in the future, it's not going to be the same because that person isn't going to be there anymore. There's feelings and there's emotion that are tied to those things. And in the same way, we go through that in our lives in each and every trial that we go through. I mean, let me just put that into a perspective as I use an example that's an everyday kind of thing. I think it was this last week, I was in an office situation at the place I work, and there was a guy, and we were talking about restructuring some things in the office and getting some software that would help us to tie things together. And I had my opinion, and he had his opinion. And the funny thing about that is it became a little trial in my life. Because I have character issues. And one of those big character issues is that I'm opinionated. I like to persuade people or make people think the way that I think. I mean, do you understand that? Do you have that happen in your life? That becomes a real trial. I think that a character issue like that can become very much a thorn in the flesh because it's something that you're carrying around. And when you're interfacing with people, all of a sudden you've got this thing going on in your life and you're wondering, how am I going to make this person think this way? How am I going to change this conversation? How am I going to get my way, basically? So I was in the process of that, and I came to a point where I had to die to my opinion. I really did, because it was gonna be like this. We were gonna have some fighting in the office. And I don't know if you've ever been in an office situation, but really, I don't think an office situation, it's about the people that you work with. It's not really about the work. The work is the same all the time. It's the people you work with. And if you're always butting heads with people, that's no fun. It makes every day just hard to get up. So, you know what? I had to die to my opinion and I had to say, you know what? You have more experience in this place. You have more experience and I'm going to let go of this. I'm just going to let it go. You know what happened in that moment? He let go too. And it was like, yeah, we're patting each other on the back, our back. We're just loving each other. And, and this guy is not, I wouldn't say this guy is, he's religious, but I don't think he has a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, it made an effect on him. He saw the humility there. He saw that there was a letting go because I was getting ramped up. I was getting ready to give him all I had, you know? And so there is a practical way that the gospel enters in to even your conversations. How about this one? You know, in my marriage with Brenda, a couple weeks ago, I came home. I was really tired. Okay, here I am, tired from work. And then I realized Brenda's not home. Well, why isn't she home? Because she's working too. Okay, she had a patient that she had to go see. And so she's out. She calls me and she says, "Hey, hon, can you just do a few things to make dinner?" And so I'm going, "Ugh. I don't want to make dinner. I am shot. I don't want to." And the kids are all going, "I'm hungry." You know, and they're, "Why don't you make dinner?" You know, that's what you want to say, right? But I'm like, "No, I know. I need to make dinner. I need to do this." And my attitude just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And Brenda showed up. She showed up. And I'm like, "Hey." You know, and all of a sudden, I'm just really short with, "Hi, how's your day?" She was all bouncing, happy, and I'm like, "I'm so mean." I just was like giving her the silent treatment, right? I'm not the only one here that knows that, am I? Okay, good, because I thought for a minute that I was. Okay, so here I am giving her the silent treatment, and you know, my heart is getting harder and harder and harder and harder. And I've got my opinion, I've got my way that I want to be. You know, I wanted to come home and just do my own thing, to just sit in the chair and have somebody put grapes in my mouth or something. I don't know. You know, the flesh is so stupid. So anyway, I had my own perception on that, but my flesh got harder and harder, my heart got harder and harder, and Brenda's countenance just started falling. Boom, 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 boom. And I saw it and I'm like, you know, in my heart there was this little bit of, yeah. I mean, I have to really be honest with you. You know, that's what I was feeling. But then on the other side, you know, the side of the spirit is, you know, no, you're not supposed to be like that. You're supposed to be letting go of these things. You're supposed to be entering in to a servant like mine, a mindset like Jesus has, where he lets go and he just serves in the midst of whatever situation. We see so many places in Scripture where Jesus just let go and he just served people in an amazing way. So that's the fruit that I know that I need to see in that situation. And not only me, but my wife needs to see that. She needs to see a loving, caring husband who will let go and just serve the family and serve her. So, you know, I got that going on in my heart, and all of a sudden, you know, it comes to a head, and I'm just a jerk, and I just had to go to her, and I had to say, and that was the death. That was death to that emotion, because I know that if I don't resolve that today, it's going to keep on going. And what is it about something like that where you just feel like you don't want to do anything about it? You just want to sit on those feelings. You just want to sit on them. You just want to enjoy them. You just want that to be something that, you know, that you can hold on to. And, you know, it's so hard to humble yourself and to go to a point and say, you know what, I was totally wrong and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That brings such a freedom when you do that in your relationships. It brings such a freedom in your heart and in your life. And I just want to encourage you in that. You know, the gospel, it is that dying to yourself day by day. That death is really important. That part of the gospel process is so important that we walk in that together as a body. Even here, we've got issues in the body here. There are certain times where people are doing this. You know, but that humility is what we need from one another to enter in to that place of unity together as a body, to see good fruit and to be able to work out the gospel in our lives and in our fellowship one with another. So, you know, death is so important. Look at what it says here in Luke 14:27. Luke 14:27 is, you know, Jesus talking to us. He wants this to happen in our life. A disciple is not somebody who knows a lot or has read a lot of books or has read the best teacher's book on this or that. This is what the disciple is. This is how we are disciples. Whoever does not bear, look what he says in verse 26, sorry. If anyone comes after me and does not hate his father and his mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We've got to bear the cross of Christ. We've got to go to that place of death. We follow in Jesus's example. John 19, 17, look at what it says there. John 19, 17. And these are hard words that we really don't like to hear, but it's really true. You're going to find that authentic fruit comes out of your life when you start to not just know things and read the books on these things, but you really die to those things in your life that are holding you back from bearing fruit. Okay, John 19, 17 says this. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. You know what? We are not alone in the process of the gospel. Jesus went before us. He is the forerunner. He went to a place where he physically and spiritually, not just physically, but spiritually died. And he died in our place. He went to that place of completely giving up and letting the will of the Lord be exalted and magnified in his life. Paul did it, I think, as he pleaded three times to the Lord to take away that thorn in his flesh. And when Jesus answered, he died to that situation. And then he's able to share with us the truth of how we can come to a place of producing fruit in our lives. Jesus bore that physical cross for us. He died physically, and we follow in that place. We follow in his footsteps, and we walk in that place of death. John 12, 24 also gives us a look at that. This is what Jesus's attitude was towards the cross. And I think this is an attitude that we can have too, and we need to have in our lives as we look at the thorns that we have, or the trials, the tribulations that we go through. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." And then if you go on there in 25 and 26, it says, "He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." You know what? That's an amazing example that Jesus gives us. He gives us that example of, a grain of wheat being put into the ground. It has to go. We know the growing process. That grain in and of itself is dead. It can't really do much when it's just laying there. But when it gets put in the right condition, it starts to bring forth life and it bears fruit. And that's what each and every one of our lives is. Just like Jesus's life bore that fruit of righteousness and deliverance and freedom for us at the cross, we have that same opportunity to enter into that in the relationships that we have when we die to ourselves, when we allow ourselves to go to that place of dying to ourselves and we fall into the ground and we die. And, it produces fruit in our lives. So there's always that loss in death. And Paul talks about this. Paul talks about this in Philippians. Let's turn there real quick. Philippians chapter 3. You're probably familiar with this. We quote it a lot. And I just really appreciate Paul's honesty in this section, because he's giving us this perspective of, that what we hold on to, we need to evaluate the things that we're holding on to. We need to continually evaluate that. Am I going to hold on to my opinion over my friend? Am I going to hold on to my comfort level above my wife? You know, what am I holding on to? What are the things that I think are, pleasing to myself? We need to let go. I need to let go of that and then allow this process to happen, this process of death. Look at what he says here. In verse 7 there of chapter 3 of Philippians, he says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." Wow, that's amazing. And when we bring it into light into our lives, that process needs to happen in us, that we would count those things as lost. There are times, I think that my opinion or those things that I've said can be a good thing. Those character issues can be a good thing. But when I use my personality or I use my thoughts or I use my position to steamroller or try to get my way, or, when it's not surrendered to the Lord, when I'm not walking in the power of the Spirit, but I'm walking according to the thoughts or the intentions of my own heart, it can be very destructive. Those things can be very destructive in relationships and in my life and not produce the fruit that God wants to come out of my life. And so I need to surrender those things. And I think that Paul realized that, because in context there in Philippians, he's not talking about bad things necessarily in his life. He's talking about good things. The knowledge. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was working according to the law. He was very good at what he was doing. And yet he had to come to a place of death and letting go of that stuff so that the Spirit of God could take the character that he had, the knowledge that he had, and use it for God's glory and not Paul's glory. And I think that's the hard thing for us, and to distinguish. And we need that discernment in our lives, that we would be able to. And I think that's the life and the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us, to bring conviction, to bring us to a place of recognizing those issues in our life that we really need to die to, day by day, moment by moment, and that we need to apply the process of the gospel to. So, in this, we see that loss. These are good things in his character. These are a lot of good things, but he realizes that he needs to count those things as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, and that he would be able to produce good fruit, that he would be able to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And it's in that, and I realize that it's in that death process that we really come to the place of fellowship with Christ. We understand. We realize the sacrifice that he made, and we enter deeply into the place. When we enter into that in our suffering, in our thorns, in our trials, in our situations that we're going through, I believe that communion becomes just really so much more powerful in our lives, because we're remembering all that Jesus did for us. Not in light of a fact or knowledge, but we're remembering what he did for us in the process of the gospel and how it can produce just the same as it did in his life and brought freedom to us. That same process can happen in our lives. Now, the second part of the process is the burial part. And I was thinking, well, how do we apply that to our lives? How do we apply the burial of Jesus to our lives? And as I was praying about it Saturday morning, because I was just going, I don't know, Lord, I really feel like you put this on my heart, but I really don't know where to go with this. And I was just, he just ministered to my heart, and said, it's faith. Burial is that part of the process where we put something to rest. We put the trial and the death or the thorn to rest in our lives. And then I was looking back over the situations that I've been in and the hard things that I've gone through, and I realized that it truly is a very, very important. I can get stuck in the part of death. I can be struggling with that. I can be struggling with letting go of something and dying to that. But until I really enter into that place where I believe and I trust that I am, that God is doing something through this, I see the nature and the character of God, and I see my character and my need for that, that I let go and allow the Lord to have his way in my life. Paul, that's what he did in 2 Corinthians there. He pleaded to the Lord, but he didn't keep on going. He realized at the third time that God had answered and said, "My strength in your weakness." You know, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. He surrendered it and let go of that. And that's what, sometimes I can go to that point of death and I realize what God is doing, but then there's that step of burial where I bury it. It's gone. It's done. I realize God's sovereignty and his love, his character, and his nature in that. And I trust him for what he is going to do out of that. You know, we quote Romans 8:28. You know that all things are going to work together for good? You know, we quote that. It's a beautiful verse. But there are others too that say that kind of thing. Look at Hebrews 11:6. This is an amazing verse. It's mixed with all of these difficult, it's in this section. It's in this section where it's mixed up and right in the middle of these people that are by faith stepping out into very big things and into very tough situations. They're persecuted. There's all kinds of stuff going on here, but they're stepping out in faith. You know, you can look at Abraham's life. That process of the gospel was happening. He had to die to things. He had to believe and trust the Lord, and then he experienced the fruit of that. The same thing that we go through, that process. So look at what Hebrews 11:6 says here. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I love that verse. We want to please the Lord in our lives, and we have to come to a place where we trust him in every situation, in all of those situations of our life, that he is sovereign, that he is loving, that he is good, no matter what happens in our life. And we put to rest whatever loss we feel like we have, or whatever loss is in our hearts over that death. In burial, I realize that I don't have to work to produce good and righteous works, good fruit, but I can surrender, and God, through his strength, produces righteousness in and through my life. I realize the truth of what Paul says in Philippians 3:9. You want to turn there? It says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. When I place my trust and my faith in him, there is the working of his righteousness in my life. As I come to that place where I know Jesus. And Philippians 3:10 says that as well, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Jesus told Paul these words, that my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then as I was reading and studying, I came across Luke 22:41. And it just really jumped out at me. And it's just a simple, you know, verse from the physical part or the physical event of Jesus's life when he was in the garden. And he really, he really surrendered to the will of the Lord there in the garden. It's Luke 22:41. 22:41. And it just blew my mind that the same thing happened to Paul as he was, Jesus, as happened to Paul. As Paul was struggling, Jesus answered him and comforted him with those words. But the same thing happened to Jesus. The Father came to Jesus and comforted him, sent, well, the Father didn't come, but he sent an angel, and we'll see here. This is just amazing to me. Luke 22, 41 says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed." So this was in the Garden of Gethsemane that this happened. You know, the disciples were scattered around. He had asked them to pray with him. They fell asleep. He'd come back to him, wake him up, you know, "Pray with me that you won't fall into temptation." And then he'd go away, and then he would pray again. But look at what happens here. He's kneeling down. He prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me." You know, when we think of thorns, when we think of trials, I mean, this is amazing what Jesus did. I mean, here he is. It's such a paradox that the Creator, who in Colossians it says that he holds creation in his hands, comes to this place where he is in submission or surrendering to the Father's plan. It blows my mind. And you know what? I want it to blow my mind even more, because this is where it's at, and this is where the Christian life is at. This is where pleasing God is at. This is where producing fruit is at. "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." He surrendered. He buried this whole thing right there spiritually before the Father. He buried it. It wasn't an issue. He's letting go, saying, "Yes, I'm ready to enter into all that you have." And I feel like that's so often where I get stuck in this process, because I really don't want to let go. I don't want to admit that I'm weak. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be in a place where people are going to tease me. I mean, that's another thing that I deal with is, you know, people's perceptions of who I am, you know, and wanting to please men rather than pleasing God. I really, you know, Jesus went to a place of shame. It says there in Philippians, and we'll look at that here in a minute, that he didn't even count his reputation of something to be grasped or held onto. And that just challenges me, because I'm so into that. I want that. But look at how the Lord comforted him in the midst of this trial, in the midst of this letting go, in the midst of this burial of this situation. "Then an angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him." You know what? God is so good. When we let go and we trust him, even in Jesus' life, even in Jesus' life, God allowed an angel to come and to strengthen him to get through this situation, because God knew the weight of what was on it. And I just love that. God, in our tribulations, in our trial, whether it's a health situation, whether it's a relational thing, whether it's with our kids, whether it's with our marriage, you know, God is in the midst of it, and he wants to meet you in there and strengthen you in that place. And I love that. That is a beautiful thing. God doesn't leave us there to work it out. "I told you that what you should do, just read the word and blah, blah." No, he ministers to us through the power of his Spirit. Comes to us. Just like he did here with Paul, and he did there with Jesus, ministering to Jesus there. Philippians, let's turn to Philippians there. Because this is the mindset that Jesus had, and we're to have the same mindset in our lives. If we're going to deal with thorns in our life, if we're going to deal with and allow the process of the gospel to happen, this has to be the mindset that we have in our relationships, in our situations, at work, wherever we find ourselves. This is a life changer. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." You know what? That was his mindset. And I'm so glad that God allowed us to see this scripture and has given us this scripture to see. In the midst of all that Jesus went through, this was his mindset. It wasn't about himself. It wasn't about his issues. It wasn't about the thorn. It wasn't about the situation or the circumstances. He was surrendered to the Father's will. He humbled himself. And you know what? We find great freedom when we come to that place of humbling ourselves before one another and before the world, wherever the Lord leads us, and God wants to bring life through it. And that's the last part of the gospel, is that after that burial comes life. And we see that in the physical event of Jesus' death, that he died, he was buried, and then he rose again to life. But that same process happens in our lives. And, you know, one of the questions that Jeff had asked a couple weeks ago and for the life groups was, share with us one of the hardest trials that you've been through. And I was like, well, you know what? The trials that I've already been through, they don't really have any hold on me, because God already got the victory in those things. You know what? The trial that's really hard for me, it's the one I'm dealing with right now. That's the one that's difficult, because when we follow this process of the gospel in our lives, at the end of the trial, there springs out of it life. And it's not a trial anymore. It's gone. It's been buried. We've seen the faithfulness of God in the midst of what he's done. We've seen him strengthen us and to bring us out of that place. We've seen the good, authentic fruit that he can bring out of a situation that looked so dark. So, you know what? I appreciate that question and all, but it was a little bit of a different take that my heart went to. You know, it is the hardest thing to go through, that present thing that we are dealing with. And God wants to bring life out of it. And the amazing thing is that he does. He brings life out. And you know what? The interesting thing about fruit is, I mean, it's not necessarily alive. It was when it was hanging on the tree and it was getting bigger and it was, you know, growing. Right now, I don't know, it's kind of in a weird state. But there is life deep down in there, isn't there? There's life deep down in there. We know that seed, when it goes and hits the ground and the right conditions are there, it's going to produce life. And that's the way the fruit of our lives are. There is life in it. Not just for you, but the people that are around you. The people, your family, your spouse, you know, the people at your work. Whoever, whatever it is, there is life in the midst of our fruit. And God wants to bring that to light in our lives. Jesus says that his strength is made perfect or complete through this process of, you know, letting go, trusting God. This is where the fruit is produced, is in this place. God has made us alive through these difficult situations that we've gone through the power of his resurrection. Again, Philippians 3:10 talks about that, to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You know, but there are a lot of passages that really bring that to life. Look at this passage in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7 through 14. See, this process is here in this. The process of the gospel is here in this place, in this passage here. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in this body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. For all things, and I'm going to read the next one too, because I think it's really good for us to see this. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. As I was reading that, I was just realizing, man, that's a perfect passage that explains that process. Going from death to burial to life and what God wants to do in that. But I love the end of these verses here, and we're going to close with this thought and these verses here. Because, you know, not only am I blessed personally in the trials that I go through in the end when I'm willing to let go, but you know what? I think we as a body are blessed. And I just use my life group as an example because this is a place where we're able to share and we're able to encourage one another in this group. You know, people have been sharing their trials in our groups, and I've been really blessed in the same way that Paul says this here. He says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." See, your fruit and the process that happens there, when it's shared within the body of Christ, and when it becomes your testimony that you're talking about, it brings blessing. That's what Paul is, and in context here, he's sharing with them, and this is personally out of his life here, actually, that he was crushed, that he has been, you know, hard pressed, that he is perplexed, but not in despair. All of the persecuted. He's sharing those things, and he shared it with the people in Corinth there, in the church there. But all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving and abound. See, that grace of God, it spreads through the body of Christ. It spreads through us and our fellowship. It spreads and it encourages us. It draws us to one another to love and to pray for one another. It encourages us to step out because we know that there is a body that's behind us and people that are in our lives that are going through the same things, that are doing the work of the ministry, that are serving others out there. It's such a blessing. So Jesus said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." That grace that I receive in the midst of my trial is a grace that can spread through the body of Christ. And that is an amazing thing. And that's what Paul's saying here. The grace in my weakness that God, I was hard pressed, I was broken, I was all these things, but that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. I'm just really thankful for the people in our body that are willing to share and to talk about those things because that's our testimony as a group, as a unified group in the Lord. And that is an awesome thing, and it is powerful in our lives, and it's powerful in the world that we live in. It brings strength and encouragement. It exhorts us to walk with the Lord and to continue on. It's a good thing. So let's allow that process of the gospel to happen in our lives. Let's share the fruit of that with one another, and let's see what the Lord is going to do this week, you know, next week, you know, in the future.